we present Arnold Bennett's Imperial Palace with Robin Ellis as Evelyn Orcombe.
Mr. Orcombe's office? I'm sorry, he's in a meeting with the chairman and Sir Henry Savart. I can't interrupt them.
That's my last word on the subject.
Could we just consider it quietly and sensibly, one point at a time?
Speaking of which, what time is it?
2:03.
And we began at 11:30. I'm hungry.
I'll make it £2.10 a share, and that's my last word. What do you say, Orcombe?
I'm sorry, Sir Henry. I'm with Mr. Dover.
But we're agreed on everything else. Your salary as managing director is settled.
Yes, I'm perfectly satisfied with
that. So you should be. I've been very generous. And the constitution of the new board of directors is acceptable to all parties.
It is, provided it's clearly understood that after serving as chairman of your fabulous merger for 1 year, I step down and take my well-earned retirement.
Yes, yes, everything's agreed.
Except for the price of the shares, £2.15.
If our price is too high, then we've all been wasting our time. And I want my lunch.
£2.15, Sir Henry?
I'm sorry. And more disappointed than I can say. But I'll carry on with my plan elsewhere. Nothing's indispensable, not even the Imperial Palace. No doubt there's another Evelyn Orcombe somewhere in the world. And I shall find him.
Bravo! Let me show you out.
Good afternoon, Savart.
Split the difference. £2.12 and £6.
Well, is it a deal?
I'm starving. Very well, it's a deal.
Ah.
Congratulations. I'll leave you to sign the contract. I've got a train to catch.
Why? Where are you off to?
Paris, the Hotel Montaigne. It's time I inspected some of our new acquisitions. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, I'm very sorry you feel like that about it, Miss Venables, but I really can't
All the girls say the same. It's been all go for us ever since Mrs. O'Riordan left. Put upon, that's what we are.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'll come back later.
No, come in, Violet, please, dear.
I didn't mean to intrude.
You aren't. I'm glad you're here. Miss Venable says she's overworked.
Just because we're one girl short, I have to work twice as hard, and it's not right. We never had all this carry-on when Mrs. O'Riordan was in charge.
What do you say, Violet?
Well, I do think the hours are rather long, but I wouldn't say we're overworked.
Oh, no, of course you wouldn't. Violet, dear, it's all right for you. You've got friends in high places. We all know about you and Sir Henry, carrying on with him on the third and how he chased you all the way up to the 8th.
Miss Venables, really?
It's the talk of the hotel. And I'm giving him my notice. There's plenty of other places for respectable girls. So there!
Oh dear, how dreadful. First Miss Prentice and now Miss Venables. Whatever will the management say?
You mean Miss Prentice has given in her notice too? I didn't know that.
No, well, it was all rather sudden.
But why? What was it all about? She must have given some reason.
Oh, some silly jealousy. I mean, you know what these girls are like.
It was because of me, wasn't it? They're all saying I've been given special treatment.
No, of course not. It's just a lot of fuss about nothing. But it does leave me in a difficult situation. Right, here I am, appointed head housekeeper, and right away two of my staff give notice. Whatever will Mr. Orcombe say?
The other day you said there were really too many housekeepers in the hotel. Well, why not suggest to Mr. Orcombe that you could manage perfectly well with one housekeeper to every two floors? I'm sure if you put it to him like that, he'll see the advantages.
That's an idea. Except, suppose any more girls leave. I mean, whatever would I do?
You won't have to do anything. I shall leave.
Oh, no, not you as well.
Well, it's obvious if I go, the others will stay. As it happens, Sir Henry's offering me a job in private service. I shall accept it.
No, you mustn't do that. You're the only one I can rely on. But please, Violet, I am begging you to stay.
Yes, but
besides, if you go, everybody will say the rumours about you and him must be true.
Damn. I hadn't thought of that.
Afternoon tea brought in person by the 8th floor housekeeper. That's what I call service.
But I shan't be in charge of this floor in future. Eh? I'm going to work on 3rd and 4th. There's been some reorganisation of staff.
I see. Well, now, talking of housekeepers...
Yes, Mr. Rawcombe told me you were thinking of offering me a job, and...
I couldn't wish for anyone better.
It's very kind of you, sir, but unfortunately I can't accept the offer. I think I really ought to stay on here. It's such a good opportunity for me.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. You sure I can't persuade you to change your mind?
Quite sure, though I am very grateful. Perhaps you'd explain that to Mr. Rawcombe next time you speak to him.
Oh, certainly, but I'm not sure when that'll be. He's gone abroad on business.
But I thought... I mean, he was here this morning.
Yes, he caught the afternoon train.
Oh, to Paris?
That's right. I sent him over to look at one of our hotels. He doesn't know a soul over there, but Gracie will take good care of him. Oh, I expect you remember my daughter.
Yes, of course. I remember Miss Gracie very well.
Come in.
You sent for me, sir.
Ah, Cherrier, thank you for responding so promptly. Miss Paula, may I introduce Mr. Cherrier? Ah, but perhaps you know one another already.
How do you do, Miss Paula? We know one another by sight, but...
But floor housekeepers and the grill room manager don't move in the same circles. Very pleased to meet you, Mr. Cherrier. If you'll excuse me, Sir Henry.
Certainly. And thank you once again. Sit down, Cherrier.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Orcombe's gone abroad for a few days, and I have an idea which I'm sure he'd like me to discuss with you. Yes. I hear the main restaurant is fully booked for New Year's Eve, and they're turning customers away, so... How would you feel about putting on some special festivity in the grill room as well?
Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Stand aside, if you please, miss. Make room for the stretcher.
Violet, is that you?
Mac, what's happened? Are you all right?
Oh, nothing, it's nothing. I had a dizzy spell, that's all. I'm perfectly all right. There's no need for all this fuss.
The doctor's sending her to hospital. Mr. Perosi knows all about it. Excuse me, the ambulance is waiting downstairs.
Mr. Perosi, I've just seen Miss McLaren. What's happened?
Calm yourself, Miss Paula. Come in. Please sit down. We have to talk.
Is she going to be all right? What did the doctor say?
It was probably a heart attack. He sent her to the St. James Hospital for observation. I think she has been under a lot of stress since Mrs. O'Riordan left.
Oh, it can't have been very easy for her, taking over at such short notice.
No, and it will not be easy for you. But I'm sure you will manage very well.
I don't understand.
For the moment, until Miss McLaren is fully recovered, you must take her place. The job needs someone sensible and practical, someone who can take control, as a temporary measure.
But surely one of the others, Miss Venables or Miss Prentice, they've been here longer than I have.
Miss Venables and Miss Prentice are leaving. As for the rest, no, you are the most suitable choice. I can trust you.
Well, I'll do my best, but...
Yes?
Oh, forgive me. I've just heard. What is the news of Miss McLaren?
I will leave Miss Paula to tell you. I must go and explain the new arrangements to Miss Cass. When Mr. Orcombe telephones, he will want to know what is happening. Excuse me.
All right, yes. Please, tell me.
I'm afraid I can't give you any details. She collapsed. Oh. The doctor thinks it was a heart attack and she's gone into hospital. That's all I know.
Well, perhaps if I telephone the hospital,
they won't tell you anything unless you're a relative.
Well, then I say I am her brother.
They might not believe you. Miss McLaren is very Scottish.
Oh, true. And I am very Italian.
I'll try to go and see her tomorrow, if she's well enough to have visitors.
You were pleased to give her my good wishes, eh? Say that I, too, shall visit her very soon, and I will tell her about the New Year plan. That will interest her.
The New Year plan?
You know, I was talking with Sir Henry Savott. He says we must have a special New Year fiesta in the grill room for those guests who cannot be seated in the restaurant. It will be a big success for my grill room. A fine idea, no?
It sounds wonderful. Well, excuse me for asking, but I was surprised to see you here this afternoon, Mr. Cherrier. Don't you go home at this time of day?
Well, that is true also. But at present, my mother and my sisters are away, taking a winter holiday in Milano. My mother has been unwell.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
No. Not ill, but not well. It is the damp climate. They are gone for 1 month, and I hope when they return the weather will be more kind. But now, well, the house is empty. It is a sad place. I do not care to go back in the afternoons.
Whereabouts do you live?
A chalk farm. It is a strange name, I think. And do you also live with your family?
I did, until I started work here. Mm-hmm. But my mother and father live in Kennington. Ah. Well, it's not very far away from
me. So you can see them often. That is good.
You make me feel guilty. I should see them more often than I do, but I've been very busy. Still, I've got some time off this evening. Perhaps I'll slip home and surprise them.
You should have let us know. If we'd known you was coming, Dad would have stayed in special.
I suppose he's at the Cross Keys.
Yes, and he won't be back till turning out time. It's a pity he's missed you. Only
what?
Well, you won't take this the wrong way, will you? I think he'd have been a bit upset seeing you with that stuff on your face.
Oh, nonsense. Dad see me wearing face powder before.
Oh, I didn't mean that. It's just... Oh, you know what he's like about girls wearing lipstick.
Oh, I forgot. I meant to scrub it off before I got here. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't mind. I know it's all the rage now. And you've got to look smart, a girl in your position. Anyhow, he'd be ever so pleased when I tell him your good news.
Oh, it's only temporary, Mum. Just till Miss McLaren gets better.
Oh, no. I told Dad there'd be no stopping our Violet now. That Mr. Orcombe's got his eye on you. Mark my words. That's why he gave you this promotion.
Mr. Orcombe doesn't even know about it. He's gone off to Paris, as a matter of fact. It's got nothing to do with him.
That's all you know. He probably left instructions you was to have another push up the ladder. Oh. Ask me, he's took a real fancy to you, my girl.
Oh, don't be so daft.
Oh.
It's not like that. He's probably forgotten all about me by now.
Mr. Orcombe, you gave me quite a shock. I never expected to find you here.
Good morning, Miss Cass. I never expected to be here. But after our phone call yesterday evening, I decided to cut short my Paris trip. I caught the night train back to London.
You must be exhausted. Have you had breakfast?
I had something on the train, but I wouldn't say no to a cup of coffee, hot and strong.
I'll see to it right away.
Before you go, I've just been through the memos on my desk. What's all this nonsense about a New Year's Eve party in the grill room?
Yes, I was going to tell you about that. I gather it's something Sir Henry Savart and Mr. Chiria dreamed up.
Indeed. Well, it's absurd. We've already got the big dinner dance in the restaurant. We can't have two rival celebrations.
No, Mr. Orcombe. I'll go and see about your coffee.
Good morning, Miss Cass.
Oh, Miss Paula. I'm sorry. Mr. Orcombe has only just got back, and he's very busy.
It's all right. I sent for Miss Paula. Just go and rustle up that coffee, would you? Please.
Very well, Mr. Orcombe. Excuse me.
So, I hear we have a crisis on our hands.
Oh, I hope it isn't a crisis. When Miss McLaren was rushed off to hospital, Mr. Perosi asked
me... I know, I've already spoken to Perosi. He tells me you're coping very well.
Oh, thank you, sir. He's been very helpful.
Good. How are the French lessons coming along?
Very slowly.
Of course. It's never easy to learn a new language.
But I'm sure you and Miss Savart both speak it fluently. I hope you found her well.
I didn't see Miss Savart. She checked out of the hotel before I arrived, without leaving an address, unfortunately.
Oh, is that why you came back early?
Certainly not. I came back because I had to make sure everything here was under control.
Yes, sir. And I think you'll find that it is.
Really? Have you heard about the scheme for a special New Year's Eve party in the grill room?
Yes, I did hear something about it.
And what's your opinion?
Oh, I wouldn't know, sir. I'm still a beginner here. I expect they're all waiting for you to settle it at today's departmental meeting.
No doubt. I hope I shall see you there.
Me?
You're head of housekeeping. For the moment. The meeting's at 10. Don't be late.
If I might add one small item to the agenda about the grill room.
Ah, yes. Carry on, Mr. Perosi.
As you know, from tomorrow we are offering a short fixed-price menu for meals sent up to the rooms, supplied by the grill room rather than the main restaurant.
Yes, yes. What about it?
It would be helpful if the floor housekeepers could be told in advance what the menus are to be. Isn't that right, Miss Paula?
Well, yes, if that's possible, Mr. Chiria.
Certainly. I will see to it.
Then let's move on. I thought you were about to raise the matter of the grill room's proposed New Year's Eve party.
I was just coming to that. Perhaps Mr. Chiria will explain.
Yes. Well, I am sure it will be a big success.
advance bookings, a special menu, and for the first time, the grill room will provide music for our customers.
You mean a jazz band? Won't that take up too much floor space?
I was thinking of a pianist and a singer.
Ah, certainly it will allow us to accommodate those guests who could not be seated in the restaurant. Don't you agree, Mr. Occam?
I'm afraid I don't.
You don't?
There are reasons for and against the scheme, but there is one objection that outweighs all the rest. The grill room never takes bookings. It's open to anyone from midday to midnight, with a short, inexpensive menu. Thousands of regular customers rely upon it. Such a change would cause confusion and disappointment, which I regard as a very serious matter.
Oh, but surely, for one night in the year...
Not even for one night. Let's move along to the next item, please. You are leaving us, Mr. Churia?
If there are any other matters concerning the grill room, I shall be in my office.
Yes. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the next item on the agenda...
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Churia?
Yes, Miss Paola. What is it?
About the floor menus for tomorrow.
Yes.
Could I have a copy today, if it's not inconvenient?
As I said, I will see to it.
Thank you. And I'm sorry about New Year's Eve, but you mustn't take it to heart.
You think not?
How long is it since you started planning it?
Not long.
Look at it this way. You're no worse off now than you were before.
I suppose not. Thank you. You're very kind. Give me your hand.
My hand?
Mm. Oh, why do you look at me like that? Have I offended you?
Oh, not at all. Nobody's ever kissed my hand before.
Well, Churia.
Well, Mr. Occam.
Even without any special celebrations, every table is full. Congratulations. And if I may say so before midnight... A happy new year.
Thank you, sir. Yes, we have been very busy all the evening. Many famous people dropped in for supper before going off to private parties. Though I'm afraid we've not had the pleasure of Sir Henry Savot's company.
No, I shall be joining him in the restaurant in a few minutes.
Oh, well. But at least Miss Savot came in for a snack.
Miss Savot? Where is she?
Oh, she was here earlier, but only for a few minutes. She said she couldn't stop.
Do you know if she's booked into the hotel?
Yes, sir. Yes, she signed the bill. Suite 305.
There you are. Now we can open the champagne. I must say the restaurant's put on a first-class show. They're doing very well.
So is the grill room. And without a single balloon or paper hat in sight.
Very well. No doubt you know your own business best.
By the way, Churia tells me your daughter was in for supper. I didn't know she was here.
Neither did I. But that's Gracie all over. She always does everything at the last minute. Ah, Perosi, what's become of our wine waiter?
I'm sure he will be with you in a moment, Sir Henry. He's very busy tonight. Excuse me, Mr. Occam. Have you seen Dr. Constant?
No. Have you tried his office?
He's not there either. And there's a young lady upstairs, seriously ill.
Ring the switchboard. They'll find him.
I already told them. The doctor is wanted in suite 305 immediately.
305? That's one of my old rooms.
Excuse me, Sir Henry. I think I'd better attend to this.
Good evening, sir.
Ah, I'm glad you're here. Perosi's trying to find Dr. Constant.
It's all right, sir. The doctor's in there now with the young lady.
What's wrong with her?
We don't know for sure, but he thinks it may be a miscarriage.
You mean Miss Savard is...
Oh, no, sir. It's another lady, someone she brought with her. I don't know her name.
I see. Does anyone know how far on... I mean, when the baby's due?
I believe she's 6 months gone. It probably didn't help making the channel crossing in such bad weather.
What the devil's that?
Oh, fireworks. It's midnight. A happy new year, Mr. Walker.
Of course. And the same to you, Miss Paola.
Violet, I shan't need to... Oh, hello.
Good evening.
It's good morning now. Thank you for all your help, Violet. I needn't keep you any longer.
How is she?
Oh, she's fine. The doctor says it was only a false alarm. He's making her comfortable.
Oh, I am glad. Good night, Miss Everett. Mr. Rawkins? That girl's a treasure.
Yes, she is. I came up to see if there was anything I could do.
Oh, thank you. Everything's taken care of. She's going to be all right.
She? I don't even know who...
Tessa, my maid.
I don't think I've seen her.
Yes, you have. She was with me the first time I booked in. Very pretty, you must remember.
Oh, yes. Is she married or not?
Why do you say it like that? No, she's not married. That's why I'm looking after her. In fact, that other time when we arrived in the middle of the night, she tried to commit suicide, slashing her wrists with a pair of scissors. That's why I kept you waiting before we went to Smithfield.
Does your father know?
Of course not. It's nothing to do with him. Why do you ask?
Because I'm supposed to be dining with him downstairs. He'll wonder what's happened.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't tell him anything. He'd only try to interfere. I can look after Tessa in Paris. I'm going to take care of her and the baby.
You're going back to Paris?
I only came over for a meeting with my publisher. Did you know I was writing a book?
Your father told me. So when are you leaving?
At the weekend, I hope. Dr. Constance says Tessa should be fit enough to travel by then. Now, if you'll forgive me, I must go and see if there's anything she needs. And you must go back to the restaurant. My father doesn't like being kept waiting.
May I just say something?
You're going to wish me a happy new year?
Yes, that too. But I must tell you, I think you're wonderful.
When it comes to the point, everybody's wonderful.
And there will be the usual meeting with accounts and finance on Friday afternoon. Now, about your engagements for the weekend. On Saturday morning, you
have... No, Miss Cass, I was about to tell you. You must cancel all my weekend engagements.
Cancel them?
I'm going to Paris on Friday night. Please make a reservation for me on the boat train.
Very good, sir. Returning on Monday?
I'm not quite sure. It all depends. You'd better leave it open. Miss Savage?
Mr. Orcombe, this is a surprise. How very nice.
I saw you passing my compartment and I wondered if there was anything
Nothing
I could...
at all, but thank you all the same.
Is everything all right? Your maid, is she...
Tess is fine. I left her in the wagon Lee with her feet up. So, what brings you here?
Business in Paris. The Montaigne. And if it isn't the best hotel in Paris, it soon will be. Are you staying there?
Oh, no. I have a house at Saint-Cloud, but I'll telephone you.
Please do. Listen... When we get to Paris, let me help you and Tessa. I can deal with the luggage and all that.
You're very kind, but we're being met by a friend, Leo Cheddon. You probably know him.
Well, I can't say I know Viscount Cheddon. He comes into the restaurant occasionally, but...
Oh, Leo's a darling, a very dear friend of mine. I'm sure you'd like him. He'll be at the Gare du Nord. I'll introduce you.
Thank you very much.
But I must get back to Tessa. Au revoir.
Come in.
Miss Paola, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Turia. What can I do for you?
Well, here are tomorrow's menus for the floor housekeepers.
Oh, you shouldn't have bothered. I could have collected them.
Well, it wasn't only that.
I haven't had a chance to speak to you recently.
We've both been busy. How are your family? Are they back in London?
Not yet. That is why I wanted to ask, next time you have an afternoon off, would you permit me to take you out?
That's very kind of you, Mr. Turia, but...
Oh, please. I hope we are good friends, eh? Won't you call me Gino? But I was wondering, would you care to accompany me to the cinema? I do not like to go alone. It would be a great pleasure for me.
Thank you, Gino. It would be a pleasure for me, too. And you must call me Violet.
Thank you, Violet. You make me a happy man.
And here, Monsieur le Directeur, are the figures for the, October, November, December?
The figures for the last quarter.
Exactement. As you will see from the, excusez-moi. Allô? Un moment. It is a young lady for you. An English young lady.
Thank you. Hello?
It's me, and you're working, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And will you be working tonight?
I don't know.
Quite probably.
Oh, can't you get out of it?
Very probably.
Ah, oh, you're an angel. Meet me at the opera. I've got a box for Rose and Cavalier. You'll love it. Well, what do you think?
Well, it's a new world to me, but so far it's magnificent.
I knew the first time I met you.
Knew what?
That we'd like the same things. But it's a pity about Leo.
Yes, shame. A previous engagement, you say?
Actually, it wasn't. He cried off when I told him Rose and Cavalier goes on for 4 hours.
Does it? You never mentioned that before.
Oh, I didn't want to lose you as well. And I was frightfully rude to you once, wasn't I?
When was that?
That night at the palace, when you refused to come to my party. I was very angry. But somehow I admired you for saying no. And I didn't rush off the next morning because I was in a rage. You thought that was why, didn't you?
I'm not so conceited.
No, I don't think you are. And I told you a lie the other day. I didn't come to London last week just because of my book. I could have done all that by post. The truth is, I've been thinking about you for weeks and missing you.
Do you mean...
Oh, don't say anything. Don't speak. I'm only telling you because I can't lie to you anymore. Oh, the lights are going down. Here comes the conductor.
I'll speak if I want to. You're miraculous.
Very sweet of you to give me a lift home.
I thought you said you live at St. Cloud.
Yes, near the nursing home where Tessa is, but that's miles out. So I rent an apartment off the Champs-Élysées. It's convenient for shopping and restaurants and seeing friends. Shall we have lunch tomorrow?
I'm supposed to be working all day tomorrow.
Dinner then, tomorrow night.
And tomorrow night I'm going back to London.
You can't. I won't let you. Ring London and tell them you're staying on for a few more days. You don't want to go back, do you?
I don't want to.
Well, but... then. Ah, this is where I live.
Where?
The tall house by the plane tree. I'm on the second floor. Come in and I'll make us coffee.
Well, it's late. I really should be getting back.
Monsieur, attendez, s'il vous plaît. Kiss me. Pay off the driver and let him go.
But I...
If you can't give me tomorrow... Please, give me tonight.
In the third episode of Arnold Bennett's Imperial Palace, Evelyn Orcombe was played by Robin Ellis and Violet Powler by Charlotte Attenborough. Gracie Savott, Colleen Prendergast, Sir Henry Savott, Derek Waring, Miss Cass, Anne Beach. Mr. Perosi, Michael Mears, Mr. Dover, John Hartley, Miss McLaren, Joanna Munro, Gino Cheria, Christopher Scott. Mrs. Powler, Di Boccia, Miss Venables, Adjoa Ando, the waiter, Johan Meredith. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Imperial Palace is dramatized for radio by Peter Ling and directed by Enid Williams.